Even if the sun ceases to rise, even if the wind stops to blow, but the name of Sligo Rover will shine and shine forever.
This is the Rovers Review on Ocean FM. I think it's fair to say it's been a sunny spells and scattered showers sort of week for Sligo Rovers. Shamrock Rovers were in town last night. Dundalk were here on Tuesday night, and mixed fortunes the order of the day in terms of the results. Let's remind us of the week gone by. Greg Bulger standing over the ball, seemed to look towards the dugout for some instruction. I'm not sure he'll need too much, and he chips this right footer up towards McCourt, is in across the area, stretching hand from the keeper, isn't enough, and the ball loops into the corner of the net, and Sligo Rovers have the lead here on the showgrounds.
Was it Banks or was it McCourt?
Banks, in fact, who may have got the final touch. He seems to be getting the congratulations. They both have kind of that tight haircut and beard. I thought it was McCourt for a moment, but I think it was Banks with the looping header. Yeah, maybe got an arm to it, a hand to it, but he couldn't prevent it from looping over him into the corner of the net. And it is Lewis Banks, I think, who makes it Sligo Rovers 2, Dundalk 1.
Yeah, Benny Burton would be absolutely fuming. Sonny Nast, that caught under, again, 6'6", and he caught under the ball.
This is Gaffney. Feeds Gary O'Neill. Chance for O'Neill to shoot low, right footed. Saved by McGinty, but he lets it spill. And Gaffney picks up the rebound and plays the ball through the legs of Ed McGinty and into the net. And Shamrock Rovers take the lead here at the showgrounds in the 26th minute. And I think you have to put that down as a slight error by Sligo Rovers keeper Ed McGinty. The shot was well struck by Gary O'Neill, but McGinty didn't really get hold of it and parried it awkwardly into the path of the in-running Rory Gaffney, and he played it right-footed through the keeper's legs and into the net. And Sligo Rovers are behind here at the showgrounds. It's Sligo Rovers 0, Shamrock Rovers 1.
And that's how it finished last night at the showgrounds. Donal Ryan is with me here in studio, and you were watching the LOI TV feed last night, Donal, which can sometimes give you a slightly different impression than from people who are at the ground. But in terms of the televisual view of that game, was there a gap between the sides, or what was your take on it last night?
I don't think there was much difference whether being there or watching on LOI TV, to be honest with Justin. I think Shamrock Rovers were just a better side on the night. You know, there wasn't much between us now, I didn't think. You know, it wasn't as if Shams were playing us off the park by any stretch, but just chances were really at a premium, and it just came down to Shams taking theirs and us really not really getting ours at all.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it was a gulf, but there was a gap on the night. I think it might be the way you'd describe it. I mean, I think that was one of Shamrock Rovers' best displays at the showgrounds for a good few years in terms of a complete team performance, to go into the Lions Den and control a game like that.
Absolutely. It was the way I'd sum it up is just pure efficiency from Shamrock Rovers, really. You know, they came in, they had a plan, they executed it very well, it has to be said. And, you know, they came away with 3 points, which I'm sure would have been the most important thing, seeing as a win for us really would have thrown the cap back amongst the pigeons for a title challenge or whatever. Whether we'd be there come the end of the season, who knows? But, you know, a win for Rovers last night really would have shut things up a bit.
Can I just reassure the listener, this is the Sligo Rovers review and not the Shamrock Rovers review. But you have to give credit where credit is due. And, you know, Rory Gaffney was brilliant. Your man Barry Cotter on the left wing was excellent. I can see why Stephen Bradley has him in ahead of anybody else on that flank. He tortured Sligo Rovers at times, I thought, last night. But the overall pattern of play was very good from Shamrock Rovers. And in particular, when Rovers had possession in their own half and looked to work it out the field the way they've done so often so well this season, It was almost Tyrone GAA-esque the way Shamrock Rovers got forward. Ronan Finn leading the charge, closing down Rovers, making it difficult for Sligo Rovers in their own half to have time to get the ball out of their own territory.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, you know, Rory Gaffney, he always seems to bring it against us. He loves an out goal against Sligo, but he's a top class striker. That's what he's in the team to do. He doesn't seem to play all that much, but when I saw the teams last night and I saw that Rory Gaffney was starting, I knew we were going to be in for a tough night. And as you said, Barry Cotter as well. I know he's only just after going into that Shams team, but he was exceptional. Probably their best player, I thought. And so, like I said, they just had a game plan. They knew what they were coming to do, and they just executed it very well.
Hi, Austin. Would you please ask Liam Buckley why did he leave Johnny Kenny on the bench last night? His speed would have upset the Shamrock Rovers defence. That's from Marty in Sligo. Well, Johnny Kenny, we're told, picked up a knock in the Tuesday night win over Dundalk, as did the match winner that night, Lewis Banks. That's why neither player was playing. But we did ask Liam Buckley about Johnny Kenny's absence after the match last night.
I'm fairness to Rovers, I thought they've passed it definitely better than we have. We've huffed and puffed a little bit, but in fairness, I can't fault the effort of Maryland. We did right through to the last minute. We were at it, we were busy, we were trying to get it. We've given away a poor goal, that said. They were better on the night at Rovers, but Shamrock Rovers. But from where we're at, their matches, you can sometimes irky out a draw and be happy enough with that and move on. It wasn't to be. We just got a full set of matches now, a full round of matches to come. So we got to make sure we get our fair share of points there.
You just needed a break up front tonight. It never seemed to come.
No, it didn't. No, we changed the shape around a couple of times just to see could we irky out some sort of better chance in front of goal. It wasn't to be. You know, we've given a poor goal away. That said, you know, kind of from where we're at. But listen, it is what it is. We just got to move on. I can't fault the effort. Everybody's trying their best to try and get a result, and appreciate the fans and all that coming here this evening. I'm sure they'd be a bit disappointed with the overall result and whatever. But listen, we're making progress, so please God, if we can finish in top three, it'd be great.
Did the injury to Johnny Kenny just come at the wrong time? It might have been interesting to see what sort of job he might have done up there up front, you know, his type of game.
Yeah, well, Johnny obviously kind of running behind and in front, you know, kind of way. So he's come on a ton this year, so. Yeah, it was just unfortunate he picked up a slight hamstring strain, so we didn't risk it this evening. And Lewis Banks was saying he had a slight thigh strain, so we just couldn't risk either of them. But hopefully they may be available for next week.
This isn't a detrimental result if you can get back on the horse quickly.
Oh, 100%, yeah. We don't want to go through any sort of runs of defeats and all that sort of stuff. We've got to make sure if we put in the same shift and effort here with a little bit better, more quality, we'll be okay in the final tour. The final nine matches that we have. And with Dundalk coming up next week, I've no doubt that's going to be another difficult game. It was tricky enough here playing them on Tuesday. That said, listen, please God, we get enough points between now and the end of the season that gets us in top three.
I'm wondering, Donald, did last night tell Sligo Rovers fans that maybe the Rovers attack isn't as potent as we maybe like it to be? If you're banking on an 18-year-old to be your leading avenue of attack, Andre Wright, Melvin Lorenzo when he came on, even Walter Figuera, who worked his socks off, you can't fault his effort, but they found the going tough last night, didn't they?
Yeah, well, of course, they were up against the top-class side, you know. I don't want to be singing Shams praises too much here, of course, but they are the champions. Like, you know, they are the best team in the country at the minute, so we were always going to be up against it. And like you said, I suppose when you're relying on an 18-year-old to be our leading the line all the time, if he's good enough, he's old enough, I think, you know, to throw him in there. I mean, we missed him an awful lot last night, Johnny Kenny. I think it would have been a perfect game for him, you know, because he had
to run in behind, and the way he'd absolutely make a nuisance of himself, and he'd love kind of going toe to toe with someone like Roberto Lopez just absolutely, to see what would have happened.
We've seen already this season that he's not afraid of the big boys, you know. Yeah. I'll never forget the first game of the season, him putting it up to Sonny Nadestad, you know, who was, I suppose, is new to the league, but Johnny Kenny's only a slight young fella, and this fella's about 6'7". You know, and he wasn't scared of him one bit. He really laid a marker down that night.
I don't know. I think I was just expecting a bit more from someone like Andre Wright last night. He's been around the block. He's a seasoned campaigner, you know, across Channel Football. He knows. He's been up against defences like this. And, you know, I don't know what I was expecting. I was expecting a spark or something just to kind of put. I'd love to have seen Shamrock Rovers under serious, serious pressure for 7 or 8 minutes in a row last night. We didn't quite get that, I felt, but maybe I'm being harsh here.
I think that's fair enough. Andre Wright, his one of his best attributes is him holding up the ball and bringing players in around him, which would free up space for the likes of Johnny Kenny or let's say Walter or Ryan DeVries, anyone that's in or around him on the field. And then he just didn't have that outlet last night, because whatever Shams were able to counteract him, they had someone else covering up the space as well. You know, Barry Cotter was everywhere last night. They couldn't, nobody could get in and around him or past him. So, like I said, his probably the best attribute, rather than the goals, is holding up the ball. But like, what we need is someone to start scoring. That's the main issue.
Yeah, I mean, it's too soon to make a judgment yet on Melvin Lorenzen. He's come on for cameo roles so far. Dundalk, he was a sub on Tuesday night, and again last night he did get a few half opportunities. But it's, I suppose, we need to give him time, do we, to bed in and get with the pace of League of Ireland football.
I think so. I think he does need time, but at the same time, I would have expected a little bit more from him, given the caliber of football that he's played, the standards he's played, where he's played. You know, he didn't get 50 appearances in the Bundesliga for nothing. You know. So I would have expected a little bit more from him, but I thought his first appearance against Pats, he was poor enough, to be honest. But the more game time he's getting, he seems to be getting more and more into games. So if he was to start a game, I'd say we'd really get to see what he's all about.
9 games to go in the Premier Division for Sligo Rovers, and a couple of tricky away ones coming up. Away to Dundalk next Friday night. We'll have that live for you on oceanfm.ie from 7:45. And there's a trip to Ballybuffet in the offing. There's a trip to Tallaght Stadium in the offing. And what we didn't realise until last Tuesday night, the last 3 games of the season are against the 3 teams who are directly around Sligo Rovers in the Premier Division table and trying to catch Sligo Rovers for that 3rd place, which we assume will be an automatic European spot at the end of the season. And that's namely St. Pat's away, Derry City away, and then Bohemians at home. That's the end of season running for Sligo Rovers. That could be a pretty hot and heavy run in those last 3 games.
Absolutely. It's going to be a cracking end to the season for sure. And you have to think as well, 2 of those teams, Pats and Bohs, they're still in the cup. You know, they have cup semi-finals coming up now too, and whether they could have a cup final hanging over them at come that stage of the season. So, you know, they could have a lot of distractions going on, but certainly 3 tough games for Rovers, and hopefully we'll gather up enough points in the meantime so we won't be clinging on at the end of the season.
Here's the table as it stands tonight. Shamrock Rovers, 56 points from 26 matches played. St. Pat's are 2nd, 50 points from 27 games played. Sligo Rovers 3rd, 45 points from 27 games played. Derry City are 7 points behind Rovers, 38 points, but they have a game in hand on Sligo Rovers. Bohemians 5th on 37. Drogheda next on 37. Maybe they're not entirely out of the reckoning for a late charge for the European place. Maybe we should keep an eye on them as well and not giving Tim Clancy's side their due either. Finn Harps, incidentally, 7th on 33 points, but they are 5 points clear of the relegation playoff spot at the moment. So that good run by Ollie Horgan's side has reaped its reward for the time being, and they've got a cup replay away to Dundalk Tuesday night at Orion Park. If you could take that to extra time and penalties, Ollie, we'd appreciate that very much from a Sligo Rovers point of view. So for all the interruptions in terms of losing streaks in the middle of the season, it still feels there's a reasonable amount to play for Sligo Rovers this season.
Absolutely, we're still in the hunt for Europe. You know, we're still 3rd. I mean, that run that we went on was horrendous. There's no other way of putting it. 7 games in a row is just diabolical form, and there's no excuse for it, I don't think. But at the end of the day, we didn't move out of 3rd place. We're still in the European spot. People made up ground on us, but nobody overtook us, which is the most important thing. We're still there. So, like, you know, it's ours for the taking at the moment. So we just need to make sure that we do take it.
Well, 2 great things to see last night, despite the result. Alan Finn of the Sligo Weekender told me there was a queue outside the showgrounds at 6:15 last night, and there was a traffic jam on Church Hill after the game. That's the first time since COVID hit that I've seen that. So, not so bad.
Fantastic. I mean, people are just desperate to get back out to the games, you know. I was at the St. Pat's match myself, and the atmosphere, the showgrounds was rocking. You know, like, it's great that we were able to watch the games on LOI TV, but as they say, you know, nothing beats being there. And, like, everyone was just delighted to get back out supporting their team, because that's what we're all doing at the end of the day. And the fact that fans are able to go back in, hopefully it'll bring games in the showgrounds up a notch, you know, raise the tempo a bit, make it a cauldron, you know, make the showgrounds a place where teams don't want to go.
Well, the question now, can Rovers rock their way to a European finish in the Premier Division? Donal Ryan, thank you.
No problem, Alison, thank you.
Even if the sun ceases to rise, even if the wind stops to blow, the name of Sligo Rovers will shine and shine for